Here people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my countrymen, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting and falling down to me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my countryman. You're walking on the fighting side of me. Just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They live on milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down real life, if you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and falling down to keep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. And you run down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com or AltRightTV.com. You can reach us through on both sites. Well, lots more news and views for our people, and of course those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me. Oh, what was I doing today? Well, I was at a protest, and the lockdown protest in downtown Toronto. It's parallel protest in Vancouver is getting bigger each week. Started off, I think, with about 100 people 2 weeks ago when it provoked the totalitarian-leaning premier of the province of Ontario, Doug Ford, to snark that these were a bunch of yahoos. A bunch of yahoos, he called them, and they were going to... going to lead to spread sickness. Yeah, that's a bunch of yahoos who are going to spread sickness. Last week there were 200 people there. Today, by the I'm not a good person. Person for counting crowds, unless I can go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but, you know, in terms of a mass of people. However, a companion of mine was, covered some of the big protests in Europe in the late 1960s estimated the crowd at about 400. So about 100 2 weeks ago, 200 last week, 400, and in keeping with the quadrupling of the crowd from 2 weeks ago, the cafe contingent today was four times bigger than last week. In fact, we came from as far away as Brantford, Hamilton, which is where I live, and of course people from the city of Toronto. So it was a very, first of all, a very peaceful crowd, a very lively crowd. People were a lot of red ensigns flying. That's the flag of the traditional Canada, or we might almost call it our rebel flag. A lot of good signs, all homemade, all very real people. A lot of people reflecting their concerns about the loss of liberty. And you know, that's kind of important. I understand that some of our fellow citizens are scared. Scared out of their ever-loving minds. And I don't have contempt for people who are scared. I mean, we all have things that frighten us, but a real propaganda job is being done on people of outrageous predictions, if not downright lies. Now, much of what has scared people are the predictions we began to hear near the end of March to justify just locking everything down. Well, let's review what they were. We were told in the province of Ontario that if we didn't do anything, and you see, that was a phony option. We were doing things. Even back then, Premier Ford had closed the schools, and they're still closed, and probably will not reopen until September. Okay, so that's a false scenario. So if you do nothing, we could lose, there could be between 100,000 and 200,000 Ontarians dead by the end, I believe it was by the end of April. Okay, so at the most pessimistic, again, 200,000 in a population of a little over 14 million. Well, that's bad. I'm not saying that's nothing. Okay, now if we did do something, well, it's still going to be bad. We'll lose between 3,500 and 13,000 by the end of April. Okay, we're now at April the 9th. What's the death toll? Well, it's under 500. The vast majority in old folks' homes. And that's a scandal, yes, of course. But we were lied to. Or, one of two possibilities, the people providing these doomsday scenarios are not to be trusted, are idiots. I recall many years ago, back in the 60s, somebody said that there's a component in soft drinks, I think it was called aspartame, and it causes cancer, so the person said. And a lot of people were scared. Now, I'm no great fan of what the Americans call sodas, and I guess we call soft drinks or pop, but that's a different point. People were told. Well, my uncle was a scientist, and he said, well, it's perhaps true. But he said, you'd have to drink so much of the pop to get that much, enough aspartame to perhaps cause cancer, that but you would have destroyed your kidneys long before before you got cancer. You see, that's the problem with a little bit of knowledge or projections. Now, of course, we've all had the doomsday projections in terms of the climate. Remember Al Gore. Al Gore... back in 2000, you know, he was running for for president against George Bush. Well, he said that we're in the middle of global warming. He faithfully parroted the United Nations line. And let me also say, there was a big financial interest in this. Just trust me. Carbon credits. which is a completely made-up thing. But there's going to be a marketing carbon credits. And apparently, one of the organizers of this market was going to be, yeah, that's right, Al Gore. So it wasn't that Al Gore was some great altruist or concerned scientist. He wasn't. He's a flake, propagandist, and profiteer. Anyway, the prediction was in 2000 that by 2013, the Arctic ice cap will have melted. You know, no more Arctic ice cap. No, the oceans would have risen many feet and Manhattan would be underwater. Might be a bad thing, actually. Anyway, last time I looked, none of those things had happened. Well, you know, when you get something egregious, if you set yourself up as a, I can see the future, and you get things wrong, then, you know, I see no reason to trust you as a guru of the future. Now, our leaders keep telling us we're taking strict measures, yes, tough measures, but that's where the science is leading us. No, I don't think that's where the science is leading us. That's bullshit. It really is. It's just nonsense. We have been, or our leaders have been, stampeded, either knowingly or otherwise, into the most egregious lockdown. Oh. On the basis of projections that are absolutely ludicrous and have failed. They've been wrong. The 100,000 to 200,000 people dead in Ontario by the end of April, wrong, didn't happen. Okay, the best case scenario, if we really have this lockdown, 3,500 to 13,500 deaths in the province of Ontario alone, wrong. Just wrong. Well, why should we continue to listen to the prophets of doom? And as I said, many people came to this protest today in Toronto from many angles. There were people who are very concerned about the 5G new technology that'll be used for cell phones and so on. They're very afraid of the rays coming off it. They're very afraid that it may have something to do with the coronavirus. Frankly, I'm not convinced that's true. I think if we are going to have to go for 5G, we should certainly not go with red Chinese technology. So there are people who are concerned about that. but I would say the overwhelming concern was the loss of our liberties. And I was surprised at the number of young people who were there. Pleasantly surprised. Pleasantly surprised by looking at people's signs at the number of people who get it. This is about freedom. The tyrant mayor of Toronto, John Tory, has closed public parks. They're crisscrossed with the outdoor equipment, crisscrossed with yellow tape. If you go across through that tape, you can be prosecuted and be fined. Close one of the most beautiful physical features in Toronto, that's a park in the west end of Toronto, called Hyde Park. It's been used for skiing, even fishing in Grenadier Pond since my father's time, back in the 20s, 100 years ago. It's been a popular relaxation place for Canadians, for Torontonians. Closed. Especially now because of the cherry blossoms. We can't have those people coming out and mingling around. And they might be getting too close, so close the park. That'll show them. I sense that long-suffering Canadians are fed up with being treated like sheep and treated like children, like bad children. I'm an adult. Why must the assumption be that if I go out to see the cherry blossoms, I'm going to be all over the person right beside me or in front of me. That I won't be able to keep a 6-foot distance. I don't like the assumption being made that as an adult, who actually owns the park, incidentally, it's taxpayer property. We paid for it. My grandfather and grandmother, who lived in Toronto from 1912 on, paid for it. My parents, who lived in Toronto almost all their lives, paid for it. I lived in Toronto for a good deal of my life. Some of it as a taxpayer. I paid for it. So it's my park. If you live in Toronto, it's your park too. It's not John Tory's park. And we don't need Grim Guts John to shut it down on us, because, well, you know us, we're too stupid to be able to enjoy it without trampling each other or something like that. A lot of other people share my worry that if we treat people like that, eventually many people will become like that. They'll become infantilized. And as so many people said on their signs, we don't want the nanny state. I don't want John Tory fuss budget telling me what to do. I don't want people assuming that I'm a moron and laying down a whole lot of restrictions, some of which I don't think will ever be taken off if we don't rebel. And that was the call today, to stand up and to push back. And that's absolutely necessary. If we don't stand up and push back, we lose permanently these rights. A free society took a long time to build, and it can take a very short time to shut down. And believe me, and many people share my fears on this account, that lack of freedoms, restrictions, sheep lines out in front of businesses will become the new normal. And I got a lot of good response to a line that developed a few weeks ago when we started to have to line up to go into the bank. Total absurdity. The particular bank branch I have in mind is a large one, could easily handle, I would think, 15 or 20 people as customers. We're keeping the 6-foot distance. We've been allowed in about 2 or 3 at a time. And so everybody, others who want to come in might be 10, 15, 20 of us in a line along the side of the bank. Right in a wind tunnel along the Queen Elizabeth Highway. And I said at the time, and it wasn't necessarily particularly brilliant, but I am in a greater danger of catching a cold in this cold wind than I am of catching the coronavirus. Well, which is true. And a lot of other people said, yeah, I've had that same experience too. And I said, when did we become a nation of sheep? When do we become people who are forced to line up? I had to go to a liquor store yesterday. On Friday. So I went to two that I know of in the Port Credit. The first one I came to, there was perhaps 20 people lined up dutifully along the outside of the liquor store. So I just exploded and yelled at whoever would listen, another goddamn lineup. What is this, Soviet fucking Russia? Again, it's a fairly large liquor store. Instead of allowing a minimal number of people in, they could have allowed more in. And they've even got lines. This is this row you go down, on the next row you go up. And they even have little footprints there, so you keep 6 feet from the person. I get it. Why are we not allowed to go in? Well, who knows why we're not allowed? The rules,
So somebody decides, well, that's the way it's got to be. You know, or anybody who drinks liquors, and contributes several billions of dollars to the provincial government because they own the liquor virtual monopoly. Irresponsible. And I went to a second liquor store, same problem. Didn't say anything there. But I thought, okay, well I am not going to join the sheep line. So today, after the protest, my friend and I, we went to the first liquor store. Well, once again, a long lineup. So didn't go. Finally went to the second one, which was a much shorter lineup. But you know, we've got to protest and push back and demand to know why. Make it tough for these people who are saying you've got to line up. Well, why should I have to line up? Why should I have to line up to put money in your pocket? It's especially nonsensical in places where you're supposed to line up, but the place is almost empty. Now, well, we've got to stop allowing ourselves to be treated like sheep, because believe me, businesses will become the new normal of bad service, poor service. but the prices won't come down. That's my same huge gripe with Air Canada. Anyway, I keep odd hours. So at 6 o'clock this morning, I was just finishing my work. And I was having a late night meal and I was looking out. And dawn had come, and what did I see? I saw snow. In fact, the roof of the house opposite me had a a covering of snow. There was snow on the lawn. And I thought back to, I understand what's happening. It's global warming, right? Must be global warming. Snow in the province of Ontario on the 9th of April. I won't say unheard of, but very rare, at least where I live in southern Ontario. So that the lies they told us yesterday, well, the day before yesterday, remember, it was all global warming. That's what they were, lies, or they got it so wrong that we shouldn't listen to them anymore. And I think that's the point. about a lot of experts that I'd like to share, that they got it wrong. But why listen to them? There are many people, I'm sure we know in our personal lives, that have their own particular hang-ups. You've got probably a favorite uncle who's got a particular idea let's say that. If you only eat apples, you'll live a very, very healthy life, something like that. Yeah, they've got their own little hang-up, and you know, if you don't eat at least an apple a day, you'll die some horrible death. Well, okay, we tolerate people like this. As I like to say, everybody's got a right to an opinion. Then doesn't mean though I have to go along with your opinion. That's the difference. People say, well, we've got to have zero tolerance for this or zero tolerance for that. No, we've got to have tolerance. Just because I tolerate your opinion, as I listen to you, I don't shut you up the minute you open your mouth, doesn't mean I agree with you. But that's what freedom's all about. You're free to express your views, your fears, and I should be free to express my views. And my view is we've been bamboozled. I'm not even saying that that the doomsters of climate change are in every case badly motivated. They may be sincere. I don't know. they may be sincere. But their sincerity is not the point. They're wrong. And we've been allowing them to bamboozle us for years.
Well, I happen to be on the website, on the Twitter site of the Canadian Anti-Hate Network. That's the Canadian Anti-Free Speech Network. Somebody called Ricochet writes, "These vulnerabilities emerge from the racialized, classed, and gendered ways that shape the place of Filipino Canadians as migrant subjects of color in Canadian society." I don't know. did you understand any of that? "Underpaid and undervalued, Filipino communities face disproportionate. Pandemic brings systemic issues around remittances and migrant labor exploitation into sharper focus." You don't like it here? Go home. By all means, go home. Go back to the Philippines. All this bitching and moaning. So, vulnerabilities emerge from the racialized, classed, and gendered ways that shape the place of Filipino Canadians. Well, they come here quite often to do work in the medical field. And I wonder how good they are about hygiene. Because they were among the chief victims of the SARS outbreak in 2003. Let's see what else they have. Here's North 99. This is a sort of left-wing thinking group. this is about the protests that were there last week. I even recognized one of the signs. Open Ontario, no more lockdown. This is the take on the anti-free speech people. People aren't protesting to be waitresses and barbers again. People are out demanding that their waitresses and barbers go back to work. These protesters don't want to go back to work themselves. They want to force the people that serve them to go back to work. Well, I was among these protesters in Toronto today, in Kelowna, British Columbia on Wednesday, and that is absolutely not what people are saying. Most of these people, some of the people that are there, exactly want to do that. They want to go back to work. They're not saying, where's my barber? I want him to be forced to work. Nobody wants to force anybody to work. I know hairdressers, and they want to go back to work. In fact, some of them are providing underground haircuts to increasingly unkempt friends as a courtesy. Yeah, people want to go back to work. Now, indeed, there may be some people who are too scared. The snowflakes and the soy boys, fine, but don't go back to work. But don't prevent those who want to work and those who want to reopen their businesses from doing so. I don't usually give the enemy a platform by reading their stuff on the program, but I will occasionally make an exception. I find this is an interesting series of posts. Somebody called Nikos Kiusis, who perhaps actually is using his real name rather than some made-up name, Hall of Famers Brett Hull, the son of the great Bobby Hull, believes the social media age has sucked the enjoyment from the hockey he knew during his playing days. We did the same things, we said the same things, but there was no way to get caught. Now, what's he talking about? Well, what he's talking about is a shocking case that came up a couple of days ago of what you might call a second or third stringer for the Washington Capitals, a hockey player, who was in a chat room with several of his friends. And I'm told, we're told, but our Prissy Radio won't give us the actual details. He said some jock talk, vulgar stuff about some woman. Well, somebody took, I guess one of the participants, or maybe the girlfriend of one of the participants, took a screenshot. And so this screenshot went, as they say, viral. I don't even know what he said, but I'm prepared to accept maybe what he said was off color. How many guys talking to other guys in a locker room situation, in a bar, out fishing, have said things about women that you probably wouldn't repeat in front of your mother or your sister or your maiden aunt? Guys will be guys. Now, this has, as they say, gone viral. The NHL has said they'll take stern measures. It's not tolerated. I always love these organizations that are for tolerance, but they have zero tolerance of this and that. Anyway, the Washington Capitals, within a couple of days, had put him on waivers. In other words, he's off the team. And the chattering heads on radio were explaining that he will probably never play hockey again. Well, they'll never play professional hockey. Now, is that true? I don't know. But I think it's likely. Career ruined. Not because of something he did on the ice. Not because of something he said publicly. He said this privately. And somebody, okay, we're not told who, leaked it. You know, that's right back, that puts us into a communistic totalitarian society where sometimes people were too afraid even to whisper to their wife or husband in bed a bad thought for fear maybe they'd be betrayed by their own wife or husband, as happened in East Germany, where one-third of the population were working for the Stasi, the secret police. So if we had a dinner party of six people, I pointed this out a couple of nights ago, it would mean, on average, that two of us the next day would be off reporting to our control what was said at the dinner party. If one-third of the population were informants, yeah. I mean, what sort of life is this? A life of secrets, deceit, we can't trust anybody? That's the world of mental illness. And the very fact that I heard, I could be wrong, I didn't see, follow the entire controversy, but I didn't hear any people say, but he had the right to say it in private. Might be, crude. I'd be wrong. As we're not told what he said, I can't say, well, I defend those views. But I do defend the fact he had the right to say it. He doesn't have the right to go out and treat women in a shoddy fashion. Where there's a big talk, a big difference between talk and action. If I had a dollar for every time I've heard a coffee house commando tell me about when the day comes, I've got some guns hidden in the woods somewhere, and I know some other fellow, like-minded guys, and boy, when the day comes, we're going to get those guns, and we're going to do this and that. If I had a dollar for every time I've heard something like that, I would be have enough money to buy my Jaguar. And nothing ever happens, of course. These are what we call the coffee house commandos. They talk a big talk. I don't pay much attention because they're the ones who you follow up. In fact, I had a conversation like this about 20 years ago up in the interior of British Columbia with some coffee house commandos. And I said, well, as a matter of fact, we have got a meeting tonight. I'm the speaker, brought in all the way from Toronto. This is my wife's bridge night, or this is my suddenly the coffee house commandos who were going to, boy, they're going to pick up their guns, and someday, absolutely, that on that day they were going to do something. I thought, no, when that day comes, if it ever comes, your old lady won't let you out of the house, or it'll be your curling night with the boys, or
there are talkers and there are doers. And, you know, there are, I think there's young men at a certain stage of their lives, some talk an awful lot and sometimes talk in a vulgar fashion and so on, which isn't all, it's largely bravado and an act. And a sane society sees it as that way. Now, if they talk that way at the family Christmas or Thanksgiving gathering in front of women, you know, somebody's going to call them on it. That's just not the way we behave. But my point is, should that ruin the man's life? Well, I think it's a sign of the horrible times we're living in. The new totalitarianism, and it's the totalitarianism of the carpet-munching radical feminists, the LGBTQ crowd, and so on. There was some doctor whose post I can no longer find on the anti-racist site, but it was up there earlier, warning people and talking about tomorrow. That's Mother's Day. To be aware that the mothers can come in many forms. I thought, well, what do you mean? I mean, some are thin and some are, you know, plump, or some are gray haired and some are, you know, auburn haired. No. Sometimes your mother can be a man. Oh yeah, I see. Yeah. It's insanity. You see, there are different types of families. Some have a female as mother and a male as father, but some have two females as what, mother one and mother two, or some have two males as what, daddy one and what, daddy mummy. I don't think we have to take any acknowledgement of the tiny number of badly freaked up people. That's not a family. The second woman's not your mother. The guy is not your father. That's right, sir. The guy is not your... Even I'm confused. Your mother. Anyway, that's the world of the anti-racist. Well, here's Keen Bexley. He reports for Rebel Media, and he's got a quotation from the Prime Minister that he wants to share with us, which I think I can...
By asking all the moms to step out of the room for a minute so I can talk to your kids. I'll give you a second. Okay. By asking all the moms to step out of the room for a minute so I can talk to your kids. I'll give you a second.
Now, I find that... And a lot of the commentary picked up on this too, that this is just plain creepy. Keen Bexley says this might be the creepiest thing that Justin Trudeau has ever done. I don't know if it's the creepiest, but certainly it's and here's a report that I found shocking. It was about a discussion about a country that ought to be pretty important to Canada. Twice, Justin Trudeau's foreign minister, that's Jean-Philippe Champagne, is asked to thank Taiwan for a huge gift of face masks. Twice he refuses and won't even say the word Taiwan. That's, of course, because... the Trudeau gang, are so subservient and submissive to Communist China, and Communist China has a huge hate for Taiwan, or what used to be called Free China, or the Republic of China on Taiwan. These were the anti-communists who, having lost the Civil War in 1949, retreated to Taiwan and have built a vibrant, largely free society. And I, as you know, am a white nationalist, but I'm always prepared to recognize what other people do, other races do, that are good, that's good. And Taiwan got it and thumped the coronavirus into submission. How? Well,
Maybe we ought to be looking at what they did. We might have learned something. Their intelligence picked up sometime early, probably in November, that something bad was going on in Wuhan. So bad that they decided to ban travel. Good thinking. You won't get people coming from the epicenter of this bad thing, whatever it is that seems to be killing people. Duh! We started saying the same thing in January in Canada. What happened when we talked about travel bans from China? You're a racist! You're stigmatizing people! No, we were very honestly saying, there's a problem. We ought to stop people coming from where there's the problem, right? Because we're being told it's lethal, and it was. Well, that you're a racist, we can't ban travel, continued until very, very late in March. And even still, there's people coming from China. So the blind anti-racism prevented us from doing what the Chinese did to other Chinese. I'm sorry, what the people in Taiwan did to other Chinese. Anyway, Taiwan has, they didn't shut down their economy. The bars are still open. The shopping areas are still open. The restaurants are still open. The schools are still open with some modifications. So, and they even though we don't give them diplomatic recognition, sent us a huge gift of face masks. We bought some face masks from Red China, and even Trudeau was on the TV today to acknowledge that they're garbage. Yeah, they'll work. They don't meet the specifications. They are cheap Chinese junk, which we bought. Anyway, Taiwan gave us face masks. Well, couldn't we at least be gracious and say thank you? Well, here is the item from Rebel Media.
This question is directed to the Minister of Foreign Affairs. On March 28th, he personally tweeted out a thank you to the People's Republic of China for donating PPEs to Canada. This tweet happened within 3 hours of China announcing that gift. Now, as it turned out, many of these PPEs were defective and could not be used. More recently, Taiwan donated 500,000 surgical masks to Canada. And yet here we are, 2 weeks later, and the minister has yet to personally thank Taiwan for its generosity. Will the minister now thank this free and democratic country for its generous gift to Canadians? The Honourable Minister.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to thank my colleague for the question. Indeed, we are very grateful to every nation for helping Canada. This is a global pandemic which knows no border. We have been expressing our thanks to many nations who have contributed. We will continue to do so. It is important in a time of pandemic, Mr. Speaker, that we don't play politics, that humanity comes together. I can say to my COVID foreign minister's call, the world community has come together to make sure that we would make sure that supply chain would remain intact, that we would have transit hubs, that we would have air bridges. And we will continue, Mr. Speaker, to work with every nation when it comes to health. This is a public good that we want to work together with.
We'll go back to Mr. Fast now.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I didn't hear a thank you there, so I'm going to try again. On May 4th, the government of Taiwan delivered 25,000 surgical masks to the government of British Columbia. On hand were BC's Minister of Citizen Services, Han Kang, and Minister of State for Child Care, Katrina Chen, who, as ministers, officially thanked the government of Taiwan for its donation. Again, will the minister now do the right thing and, on behalf of Canadians, recognize the generosity of Taiwan and thank its government for that timely donation?
The Honourable Minister.
Mr. Speaker, as I said to you before, Canada is grateful to all who have given supplies to Canada. This is a common endeavor. We are thankful. We are grateful.
And that is just baffle gab bullshit. He was being asked, would you specifically thank Taiwan, this nation which gave this gift to Canada? I mean, how hard would it be to say... The government of the Dominion of Canada thanks the people of Taiwan for this gift of the surgical face masks. Well, of course, if they mention Taiwan,
it bothers the Red Chinese. So what? They gave us SARS because of their filthy markets and habits. They gave us the coronavirus because of their filthy markets and habits. And we're still deferring to them, their sensitivities. It's appalling. Well, this is Paul Crum. You're on the fighting side of me. I'm going to play some songs from a man who brought the country sound of Bakersfield, California, to Nashville in the 1960s. He was a longtime star of the popular TV show Hee Haw. This is the late Buck Owens and his band Buckaroos.
Oh, the sun's gonna shine in my life once more. Love's gonna lift here again. Things are gonna be the way they were before. Love's gonna lift here again. Love's gonna lift here. Love's gonna lift here. Love's gonna lift. Singing. Love's gonna lift here again. I hear bees are humming and I know the days are coming. Love's gonna lift here again. Love's gonna lift here. Love's gonna lift here. Love's gonna lift. Streets. Bakersfield. Hey, you don't know me, but you don't like me. Say you care less how I feel. How many of you listen to just me? Ever walk the streets of Bakersfield?
I feel a trembling in my knees. And
again. My tears have stopped falling. The long, lonely nights are now at an end. The key to my heart you hold in your hand. And nothing else matters. We're together again.
Back with you again tomorrow here on altrighttv.com or whiteresistanceradio.com. You can reach us at either venue. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. Our fair dominion now extends from Cape Race to Nootka's Sound. May peace forever be our lot and plenteous store abound. And may those ties of love be ours, which discord cannot sever, and flourish green o'er freedom's home, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save us.